a doorway, and we all would go stand in the doorway. You remember how you do it? You put your feet up against the doorway and get as straight as you can. Put a ruler on your head, and then you'd mark how much you had grown to date. Did you guys do that? Yeah. And then you're like, man, I grew like a whole inch. You know, and then you're, and then at some point, that stops happening. Yeah, amen. Pastor Izzy, Mr. Chart. Valley's great. You're like, wow. So for some of you guys, you've not reached that point yet. Others of you have already reached that point. But we do that because we're consistently checking to see how much we have progressed. So throughout our lives, we take opportunity as we grow to maturity, as we grow physically, as we grow even to spiritual maturity. We need to have times where we stop and look and evaluate and say, you know what, how much have I grown? What's happening in my life? And our launch with the high school ministry and the middle school ministry and this new season of ministry for CSM, that's a lot of what we're doing. We are taking this opportunity to consider and think, how have we grown? What are we doing? What is CSM all about? What is our high school ministry all about? What is our middle school ministry all about? Really, more broadly, what is Cornerstone all about? And what does it mean to exist within this body of believers that we call the church, Cornerstone? And so we are calling this series Launch, and it really in many ways is not very different from what we've done for years. These are the three core values of that Cornerstone is all about, and we see them up here: equip, engage, and expand. That our purpose and our intention as a church is to equip the believers, and as Pastor Izzy taught a few weeks ago, that is the reason that God has given gifts to the church. It comes in Ephesians 4, and it says, and Christ gave gifts to the church, and those gifts were in the form of apostles, pastor, teachers, and evangelists, and their purpose is to equip the saints for the work of ministry, to pour into the saints. So we have seasons when we equip as a church. We are doing that now. This is one of the times when we equip the saints for the work of ministry. We meet every week on Sunday morning and on Sunday night for the purpose of the equipping of the saints for work of ministry. So this is designed to be a time, going back to the sermon I taught this morning, for you guys to be teachable, for us to be teachable, to take the opportunity to learn and grow in who we are in our relationship with Christ. It's the equipping of the saints. Then we move on to engage, and we engage as we looked at Acts chapter 2. The early church committed themselves to fellowship. And then it works that out as we study this text as the breaking of bread and prayers. And then he goes on in verses 43 through 47 explaining what that looks like to experience fellowship within this body. So we have seasons where we engage together, and we do that predominantly where? Silence. Here and where else? I got to step down here. I'm kind of freaked out being out there. It is, you know, I'm short. Man, I was born that way. Well, I wasn't born that way. I'm not getting any taller. I'm done. But ninth grade? No, I was 4'11" in the ninth grade.
Oh, gosh. I'm so sorry.
There's hope to all of you guys. 4'11". And I wasn't getting to my current height until sometime like my junior year. Yeah, 6'1", 6'2", something like that. All right, let's focus. So, to engage, where do we engage together as a body of believers and really experience this thing we call fellowship? Journey groups, yeah. In our journey group time, that is the season of the week whenever we come together and experience what it is to walk in fellowship together. When you look in Acts chapter 2 at all of the things that the church did together, those are the things we primarily work out as we do life together in our journey groups and in our and even in our fellowship time here and those kinds of things. Look at what they did. This is what Pastor Izzy taught this a couple weeks ago. And all came upon every soul, verse 43 of Acts chapter 2. And many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles, and all who believed were together and had all things in common, and they were selling their possessions and their belongings and distributing the proceeds to all, even as had anyone had need. And day by day they were attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, and they received their food with gladness and generous hearts, and they were praising God and having favor with all the people. This was the fellowship that the early church experienced. It was an amazing, amazing time in the life of the church. And we experience that similar kind of fellowship. And when we engage together in community, we call our communities journey groups. Now, it's not the only place that happens. We have community when we whack each other with noodles at the back of the hub at Ascend as well. So same kind of thing. We experience community as we do life together. And that's what they did. So we talked a couple weeks ago about the engaging as a community and what that looks like. And tonight we look at the third thing, to expand. But to expand describes what God desires to do through us as a church, to expand his kingdom upon the earth. Now, if you look down at the bottom of Acts chapter 2, verse 47, we get this little phrase at the end that goes like this. And the Lord added to their numbers day by day, those who were being saved. The Lord was adding, was adding daily to their numbers those who were being saved. Now, a few things about this little phrase, because this really is where we package together this part when we talk about expanding the church and expanding the kingdom of God upon the earth. If you notice this phrase, who's the person doing the action? Yes. Now, typically when we think about growing the church, who do we think is responsible for doing that? Yeah, us, right? We got to grow the church. Man, they preach to me all the time how I'm supposed to grow the church. But in actuality, it's God who is growing his church. God is the one who is doing the work of growing his church and accomplishing his purpose in this world. As he works in our midst to accomplish and expand his kingdom in the earth. So God is the one who's at work here. So God is actively adding into the church day by day those who are being saved. Now, what that says to us is that there's no one in this room tonight who has come into this fellowship of believers, this family of believers, by accident. You're not here by accident. No one comes to God or makes a move toward God apart from God being at work in their hearts to choose them and to draw them into fellowship with his body that is called the church. So as you reflect and understand, well, you know, why am I here? Why am I part of this thing? You're here because God is at work in your life. That is the reason that you join Cornerstone. That is the reason that you entered into this fellowship. Because God is the one who is adding to his church day by day those who are being saved. Now, when we pause at this phrase where he says he was adding those who are being saved, what is the requirement for you to be a part of this fellowship of believers? Anybody? Attendance. Is that true? There's one requirement for you to be a part.
Do you mean like a part like physically here or a part just like in general?
Be a part of this body of believers. You have to believe. You have to have experienced salvation in the name of Jesus Christ. That is what adds you to this community. So God was adding to these believers those who were daily being saved. As people gave their hearts to Christ, as they trusted Christ as their Savior, he was adding them into this local body of believers. And that's what we experience as a church. God is about the business of growing his church. And he is doing this work. And he has chosen to expand his church in the earth expand his kingdom in the earth through the church, through this body of believers that exists right here. And more broadly, the body of all believers, the capital C church that exists throughout the world. So God is choosing to do this work through the church. So tonight, as we consider, we're going to consider the ways that God expands his church, the ways that God adds believers, adds people to his church. And it really comes down to two simple things. First, God adds people to our church by using us to attract others. He adds people to the church by using us to attract others. Now look, as you look at verse 47, who were the people that were being saved? Where were these people coming from? Everywhere. Where did the early church exist? Jerusalem. So these were people who were participating in the life of Jerusalem, the city around this church. And so they experienced and saw what was happening in the life of these believers. These people, the new church was growing and they were experiencing awesome things. Look at those verses in 43 and following. All came upon every soul. And there were many wonders and signs being done through the apostles, and all who believed were together, and they had all things in common, and each one would sell their belongings and give to those who had need, and they were encouraging each other and affirming each other and helping each other and serving each other. And it was just this amazing experience that they were having. Has anybody ever been to Disney World? Do you want to go back? What? Hey, I got to tell you guys, Miss Hannah is trying to work out a youth trip to Disney World. With all of her might. She is determined that one year we're going to do like Creed at Disney World or something else. But here's the thing. Okay, listen. Why do you go back to Disney World? Nostalgia, why?
Because you feel like you haven't had enough. You want to see more.
I want to be a child again. Because it's a magical place, right? Come on now. Somebody's got to throw that out. Right? Why wouldn't you want to go to Disney World? Right. Okay. You want to go back to Disney World because of the experience you had there before. All right, listen, guys. Ladies, listen. Disney World is an amazing place if you've ever been there. And there's a motivation to go back again because you had an amazing experience there. Why were people attracted to this church? Because of the experience these believers were having. This was an amazing thing that was going on in the life of the church. And as these people that lived in Jerusalem saw what was going on in the lives of these new believers and saw how they connected and the relationships they had and what God was doing in their midst and how God was transforming their lives and God was doing miraculous works, God was doing amazing things in the midst of this church. And people standing around thought, wow, what is going on? That's attractive. It is attractive when you see people experiencing amazing community and people loving each other well. The church is designed to be the thing in the world that attracts other people to Christ. Take a look at these verses in John chapter 13. Now, John 13 is out of the text where Jesus is near the end of his ministry. It's the night before. It's the farewell discourse. And he's reminding his disciples of a few things before he leaves them. And in John chapter 13, verse 34, he says this. He says, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another." Now, why is this a new commandment? Didn't God always want people to love one another? Why is this new? It's the night before Jesus goes to the cross. He's not going to use his words lightly. Why is he saying new commandment? Huh? It wasn't there before. Why? Good, exactly, Kelsey. That's good. Now's a new covenant. What's different about the new covenant? Why is this a new commandment to love one another? God expected sacrificial love in the Old Testament. There's something new happening. It's related to the new covenant. What is happening, Graham?
This new commandment is for all people. I mean, you were supposed to love Israelites back in the old covenant, but this new covenant is for everybody.
I don't entirely agree, because you can go back to many texts where God makes points related to the Gentiles. But that's a good answer, brother. That's a very insightful answer. I think God wanted Israel to love the nations. Israel drifted, exactly as Graham said, into a place where they loved one another and tended to not love the nations. But there's something new happening. Jesus was starting something new. What was it? The church. The church. It was a new entity that was coming into existence. And the church came into existence at the time when the Holy Spirit came down after Jesus died on the cross for our sins. And he rose again. And he cleansed all of us as believers. As Pastor Izzy taught the other day, we become the temple of the Holy Spirit. There's a new kind of order in place. Out of Ephesians 4, verse 1, you are one Lord and one God who is over all and in all. One faith and one hope. And one Spirit who dwells in every person. There's a new potential that has never existed before in the history of the world. Israel was great, and Graham makes an excellent point, because Israel was a great nation selected by God and set apart to proclaim his name to the world. But they lacked one important thing that we now have. What is it? Or who is it? The Holy Spirit of God. That came through Jesus. Thank you. The Holy Spirit of God, who indwells every believer. If God indwells Graham, and he indwells Preston, and he indwells Holden, and he indwells Will and Chris, I'm going to leave brother out, everybody on this row, what makes it possible that they can get along? They have the Holy Spirit living in them. How great is that? Thank you, brother. And we have a new opportunity to fulfill this commandment like never before. He said, a new commandment I give you, that you love one another. Because it was a new reality that he was going to accomplish in his people. And we have a new opportunity for unity and community that we have never had before because of the Holy Spirit of God who indwells the church. This was a new and unique thing. And then Jesus goes on. He says, if I can find it. He says, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also to love one another. How did Jesus love his disciples? And how does Jesus love the church? Huh? Unconditionally. How else? Huh? Did you say that wrong? He gives life. How else? He gave his life. Good. Jesus loves sacrificially, selflessly. Do we always love that way? Oftentimes not. Oftentimes our love is conditional. Conditioned upon how you treat me. Conditioned upon how much I like you. Conditioned upon how cool you are. Conditioned upon the way you've treated me in the past. But Jesus' love is selfless. And he said, I want you to love each other, Brittany, the way I loved you. Selflessly and sacrificially. He said, there's a new thing going on. It's the church, and we have to experience and have that kind of love for one another. We have to grow to the place where our love is far beyond what just we experience in the world. It's got to be more. It has got to be amazing, because Jesus said, I want you to love me, one another, the way I loved you. And then we'll look what he says in verse 35. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. The identifying mark of a disciple, guys, is how well we love each other. The whole world is looking to see whether or not the church is real, whether or not we're authentic. And the way we treat each other, the way we love each other or don't love each other, either draws people to the church or pushes them away. It's either attractive or it's unattractive. I'm going to see Miss Aileen. Miss Aileen, have you got those? Kayla's got them. All right, I need a coffee drinker. Who's a coffee drinker?
Me.
Tiffany, you're a coffee drinker. Do you like Starbucks? You like iced coffee? No? Huh? You want to? Here, come on up then. All right. No, you're not going to chug it. You're not going to chug it. All right, I need you to stand behind the table. All right, easy now. It's mocha, right? All right. Did she get both of them? All right, so I want you to look at the outside of that container, those containers. Uh-huh. And just decide which one you think you would like to drink. The brown colored one, Josh. Which one do you think looks the most appetizing, most appealing? You got to check dates. It'll go bad, won't it?
They're the same date? I don't pay attention to this at work. So.
See? She works at KJ's. That's right.
Make sure nothing is fired.
All right, so how are you going to decide which one that you want to drink? Which one will be the best? Why'd you pick that one?
Darker.
It's darker. What's wrong with that, man?
It's been shaking.
They've both been shaking, see? All right, that's what I want you to do. I want you to open each one and smell them and figure out which one you want to drink. How disappointing that would be, yeah. There's no caffeine. We eliminated the caffeine. It's okay. What's wrong? What's wrong with this one? All right, let somebody else check it and see what they think. Take it to somebody else. Peroxide? I don't think I've ever smelled peroxide. It's got vinegar in it? All right. I want you to drink this one. Why not?
I like vinegar.
Look, Miss Hannah asked for the good one. So you're going to have to take this one. You don't want one?
I'll take the coffee.
Why do you want this one?
One's tasty and one's disgusting.
That is the right answer. You can have the good one. Woo! Give Tiffany a hand. All right, here's the thing. One is tasty. Tiffany made the statement of the night. One is tasty and one is disgusting. Guys, the community that is fighting and arguing and mistreating each other, gossiping about each other, tearing each other down, mocking each other, being hateful to one another is disgusting. People aren't attracted to that. They just aren't. And when people experience that here, they go out and say, yeah, don't go there. It's full of vinegar. And they do that because, you know what, they already have this in the world. They already have plenty of disgust in the world. There ought to be something different about Christ's church. Jesus said, this is the identifying mark. That you have love for one another. God adds to his church. Well, we're too far. How far we got? How we got that far along? God adds to his church those who are attracted to the church. He has chosen in this day to use our love for one another and our experience of community to draw people to faith in himself. You are the key to God adding to his church day by day those who are being saved. And when you don't get along with somebody, or you resent them, or you just don't really like that guy, or whatever else it is, it just pushes people away. Because they have enough of that in the world. The evidence that we are Christ followers ought to be the way we love each other. How we treat one another. And they ought to see in us and say, you know, there's something different about those people. The way they did in Jerusalem. Because they saw, man, there's something going on. And everybody knew. And there was an excitement. Because people were just in this amazing fellowship. And they were lured in because they saw something amazing happening in the lives of these believers. Guys, I want them to see something amazing happen in the lives of our high school ministry. They ought to say, you know, I want to go with you to Journey Group. Because, man, wow. And the way you talk about it is just awesome. I want people that like me the way those people like you. I want people that don't bully me. Because I deal with that all the time at school. I want people that aren't competing and trying to be better than one another. And I want to experience what real love looks like. And the only place that can fully be experienced in the world is right here in this group. In the church. Because of what I said earlier. Because we alone have the Holy Spirit of God. It's God who is at work in us. And that makes unity possible. That makes it possible for us to have this amazing experience of community. And that's what draws the world. That's what draws the world to seek him and to know him. Okay, so let's keep going. Now, the first way is that God adds his people to the church by using us to attract others. The second way is by using us to invite others. From this point forward in the book of Acts, the disciples were scattered out throughout the communities around them. If you remember Acts chapter 1, verse 8, you remember what it said? And you will be my witnesses, where? In Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and the uttermost parts of the earth. And that's a progression outward from Jerusalem. They start in Jerusalem, they move out to Judea, and then from Judea out to Samaria, and then from Samaria out into the uttermost parts of the earth. There's a progression in the book of Acts. And from this point out, the disciples go out, having been excited, having been equipped with the gospel under the teaching of the apostles, just the same way that we teach and understand truth here. They went out into their communities and they shared the truth of the gospel with people there. All based on their witness as believers. They were a body of believers that were experiencing an amazing thing. And then when they went out into their community, people asked them, what's so different about you guys? And they had the opportunity to say, you know what, we've given our lives to Jesus Christ. And he has transformed us. And because of that, we have this amazing gift that we have been reconciled to God, and you can have that as well. Take a look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5 in these verses we have. Paul fleshes this out because this is part of the mission of the church. Look what he says. He says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and entrusted to us, or gave us, the ministry of reconciliation. So who was entrusted with the ministry of reconciliation? Us. You guys have been entrusted with a gift, a stewardship, to go out into this world and be witnesses for Christ, to share and proclaim the grace of God to a world that desperately needs him. Look what he says as he goes on, verse 19. He says, that is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, forgiveness of sins, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. What's our message? The gospel, the good news. When you, I'll use an example. Recently, my mom, over Christmas, went into Belk for Christmas shopping. Did anybody go to Belk? Yeah, some of the ladies. Look at these guys. They're like, yes, sir. I love it. Yep. So anyway, she walks into Belk, and she's walking in at Christmas time, and there's a guy there handing out gift cards. And they're scratch-off gift cards. And so she scratches one off, and it says she won $1,000. That's pretty great. $1,000 gift card. Now, if you would have been that person and you walked into Belk, Josh, or Owens, and you rolled in and my man gave you a gift card and you scratched it off and it said you won $1,000, what would you say? Now, when you're done and you went and did all your Christmas shopping, because everybody's getting something from Belk this year, right? Yeah, absolutely. Doing all your Christmas shopping and you go home, what's the first thing you're going to say when you hit the door? Heck yeah. Fired up. Why? Because you just got some money. Yes, there's good news. There's great things to tell. There's awesome things to tell. And people that have had an amazing experience. You go to Disney and you come home, what is the first thing you do?
Guess what I did.
Yes, you're calling people and telling them. After the ski trip, presuming you have a good experience on the ski trip, and that is not guaranteed. You could die, just saying. So, Bern, I'm not being very encouraging, am I? Carrie's not going to die. So, when you're on the ski trip, and you get back from the ski trip, what's the first thing you do? Take a nap. He said that. Kayla said take a nap. You tell people, right? There's an exciting thing that's happened in my life. Man, this was awesome. When you ace an exam, you want to tell somebody. When you get the lead part in a play, like Hanan over here, you tell somebody, right, Hanan? That's awesome. I don't know if I let the cat out of the bag. Was I supposed to tell that? It's pretty awesome. Surprise. So when you get a lead part, you tell somebody. Why? Because it's great news, man. This is an awesome thing that's happened in my life. Same thing happens, guys, as we have an amazing experience here. We become attracted to people because we've had a great experience in this fellowship of believers. As Jesus has added each one of us into this body, and we grow in maturity, and we experience the love that can only be experienced in this place. We're excited about what God is doing in our lives. We go out into this world, and you know what we want to talk about? Let me tell you what God's doing in my life. Let me tell you what God's doing in me. We're excited about it, and it becomes good news. These people went about, led by the Holy Spirit, sharing a message of reconciliation, letting people know, look, my sins have been forgiven. I have the certainty of eternal life. I have a relationship with God, and not only that, I have a relationship with some amazing people, too. And you know what? You can have that, too. You can have it, too. That's our mission. That's how we expand the church. By going out in this world and letting people know the good news that we discover for ourselves. The Bible describes the kingdom of heaven as a treasure that a man found in a field. And having discovered that treasure, he went and sold everything he had. And he bought that field. There is no greater treasure than the one that you have discovered here at Cornerstone if you've trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior. The Bible describes it as things into which angels long to look and we experience. We have been indwelt by the very person of God. We don't have to seek after Him. He indwells us. That's amazing. The opportunity we have is amazing. And we have a message because of what we've experienced in our lives to be able to share with this world. So the question for you guys this week, and what I want to challenge you as we finish up launch and as we go into the rest of our ministry as high school students, and as you, some of you guys graduate and some of you move on farther and become upperclassmen next year, we've got a good set, a good group of juniors here. Are you attractive to people for the gospel? Are you the person that when they see you, they're like, man, there's something different about that person? Or is there no difference between you and this world? When they see you, they just say, you know, hey, that's just like everybody else. Just like everybody else. Is there a draw? Part of what we're going to do this week in journey groups, and I really want to encourage you guys to spend time thinking about this, is study the last half of the book of Ephesians. I'm going to look at what it means to walk as a believer and what it means to walk in fellowship together and how we treat one another in that community. And we're going to reflect on the things that can creep into that community and destroy it and cause division and strife and hardship and anger and resentment and bitterness and can turn what was a really good cup of coffee into something disgusting. And I want us, as you look at that this week, to consider, you know what, am I letting Satan creep in and do that to me, into my life, into my journey group, and into my fellowship here at Cornerstone? Am I letting this happen? Or am I working hard to make sure this thing is amazing and that people are drawn to faith because they experience just how amazing God is through me and through my testimony? All right, let's pray, and then we're going to break up into our groups. Father, thank you for our time and your word, and I would ask, Lord, teach us the value of community in our lives. Lord, what an amazing opportunity we've been given. And Lord, I would just ask, help us to value that for what it really is. I pray, Father, that these students would experience the joy of love that comes from a community that is in relationship with you. That we would pour in each other's lives, that we would love each other well, that we would pray for each other, and we cry out to you on behalf of our friends, of our brothers and sisters in Christ who sit in these seats today. That this place, above everything else, Lord, would be a safe place. I ask, Lord, that you would teach us to love well. And Lord, I know some of our students are sitting here and they think, I've got this down. When in so many ways they don't really understand it. Because sacrificial love doesn't come easy to us. And Lord, I ask, teach us the meaning of it. Teach us selflessness, like it says in Philippians 2. Putting one another's, the needs of others, before our own. And considering others more important than ourselves. Lord, may that happen in our lives, and may the result be amazing, and may people be drawn to our Savior because they see the transformation that has occurred in our lives.